This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. There's a fair amount of debate over how we educate our kids in Michigan. A report released this summer outlined some of the major issues and some suggestions for how to help graduates thrive in a new economy that requires us to adapt to changing technology throughout our careers. The report is titled, A Path to Good-Paying Careers for All Michiganders, Improving Student Outcomes from Education Birth to College. Joining me to talk about that is Patrick Cooney. He's a policy associate of Michigan Future Incorporated. That's the nonpartisan Michigan think tank which compiled the report. First, let's outline some of the concerns that the report addressed. What's missing in how we currently educate our Michigan kids?
The report is sort of based on a central understanding that the economy that our students are heading into is one that's rapidly changing. It's one where jobs that are consisting of routine tasks and increasingly non-routine tasks are being automated away or being shipped overseas. And so what's required is sort of a new set of skills that students need to come out of their education with in order to complement instead of be replaced by machines.
I want to address some of those skills a little later, but I want to ask you about this. Michigan Future has been around for a while, and it's been consistent in its message that Michigan needs to turn out and retain more four-year college graduates if the economy is to remain stable. Conventional wisdom in Lansing lately puts a lot of emphasis on vocational training, and I'm wondering, how does the report approach that division, especially when you consider the state's economic history has been sort of a blue-collar history?
Yeah, so I mean, what we'll talk about when we talk about the sort of skills we're trying to our education system to deliver that are applicable whether you go into a trade or whether you get a four-year degree. Our point in the paper is that all students in Michigan should have the opportunity to attain a four-year degree should they choose to. And right now, like we lay out in the paper, they really don't. And the reason that they should have the opportunity to attain a four-year degree if they choose to, is because the economic data overwhelmingly does show that four-year degree holders do better than those with just some college, no degree, or the high school diploma.
But that flies in the face of what we're hearing these days, which is that, you know, you spend all this money, you get all this student debt, and then you can't find a job, even in a good economy. So vocational training seems to be a good option because we need construction workers right now more than ever because there is a shortage.
Right. So I think two things here. The first thing is when you look at the data, it doesn't sort of match that popular narrative.
So it's a nice anecdote, but it's not.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Looking at for BA holders, looking at unemployment rates, looking at earnings, looking at unemployment rates and earnings through the recession, they just did far better than sort of any other level of educational attainment. You know, and I think secondarily, what we always talk about is sort of what is the advice that you're giving to your own children. Overwhelmingly, a lot of the people that are giving this advice that you should be going into the trades and that you shouldn't be wasting your money on a four-year degree with their kids, they're going in and attaining and looking to attain a four-year degree.
What are the challenges to changing our education system to make graduates of high school and college able to adapt as automation and technology change nearly every aspect of work, regardless of the kind of work?
Yeah, so what we talk about in the paper is the new foundation skills that we need to develop for our students in our education system are called the six C's. And that comes from a book called Becoming Brilliant, which is written by two learning scientists, one at Temple University and one at the University of Delaware. And those are collaboration, communication, content, critical thinking, creative innovation, and confidence.
Okay, I want to break those down. Let's talk about each one of those.
Yeah.
Let's start with why did you choose this book and this six C's program to say this is the answer? Hey, this is we found it. Here it is.
Yeah. So the what the book talks about and our report sort of delves into is that these are the set of skills that students are going to need in order to complement rather than be replaced by machines. These are the skills that employers are looking for. Students are going to need to be able to think critically on the job. They're going to need to be able to problem solve. They're going to need to be able to innovate. What's happening in our current education system is that we're not focusing on those skills. We're focusing on a single skill, which is, I guess, that third C, content. But it's not even so much content that we're doing, it's narrowly defined math and reading skills right now. All the focus is on those tested subjects and those tested skills, which means that students don't get the chance to work in teams, to work on projects, to be engaged in their education, and to find, you know, and to be curious and passionate learners. So right now, that's what we need to make sort of the shift to.
So collaboration, teamwork, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Communication. What about communication do kids need to learn that they're not learning now?
So two main things. First, this is sort of oral and written communication. With oral communication, there are models across the country. One example is the Expeditionary Learning Model, or it's now called EL. They have all of their they do their curriculum through projects, and all of their students will end each project with an authentic presentation to an authentic audience. So that means you're presenting to city council on how the city can reduce greenhouse gas emissions or something like that. So that is one way that you can work on communication through those sort of authentic performances. The second thing with communication is just writing. When with our experience with our – we had a project working with high schools in Detroit, the Michigan Future Schools Project. When we talked to colleges about the deficiencies that our kids had, overwhelmingly it was about writing. And it wasn't so much that they couldn't put sentences together. It was sort of writing, backing up your points with evidence, making original claims and backing that up with evidence. That's what we need to do a lot more focus on. We don't do nearly enough writing in our schools.
Okay, you addressed critical thinking a little bit and creativity. That makes sense as if you're going to be a flexible employee. How do you teach confidence?
Yeah, so we were having this discussion yesterday. We think confidence is sort of the one that kind of is – kind of pervasive throughout all the skills and kind of what you need to start with. I don't know that it's so much something that can be taught as much as it's the culture in the schools. Right now, we have a system that is almost designed to take the confidence away from kids. When you have a system that's built on multiple choice standardized tests and it's right answer, wrong answer, there's a high percentage that students are going to fail, and they're going to fail time and time again. And that is sort of takes the confidence away from kids. We need to build sort of structures and a culture in our schools where failure is not something to avoid, but something to kind of embrace and learn from. I think that's another key thing that we're seeing in the 21st century economy is this idea that you're going to fail and you need to learn from those failures. And that's kind of what we're talking about with confidence. And kind of incorporated in that word confidence is all these buzzwords like grit and perseverance that are sort of pervasive in the education landscape today.
Who was the target audience for this report?
I would say that the target audience is state policymakers in Lansing. There are key things that we need to do at the state level in order to get the schools to do the work that we need them to do.
Well, let's talk about that because they're hit with a lot of education reform ideas. And now that Michigan's chief champion of private schools, Betsy DeVos, is the U.S. Secretary of Education, there's more clout for a more conservative direction. How will this report rise above the cacophony of education ideas?
Yeah, so I think that the thing that we see in the education debates is a lot of times we get stuck down on some pretty some pretty small things, and that we don't feel like are going to be able to move the needle a ton. And secondly, a lot of the things that we see in education debates are focused on the paradigm of improving test scores just a little bit. What we're talking about is focusing on long-term student outcomes, which increasingly means setting students up so they can be successful in post-secondary education, which doesn't necessarily align with test scores. There's a lot of research that shows that test scores are not the most predictive factor for post-secondary success, and setting students up with the skills they need to be successful in career. Looking at those two things versus narrowly defined test scores, I think changes the set of recommendations and changes kind of your, the things that you need to get done.
So how do you measure success?
So one part of the paper that we talk about is how testing and accountability, how all that sort of needs to change. Our recommendations for the sort of shifting the accountability system is changing the assessments, to be sure, to be focused more on focusing on problem solving, on critical thinking, things like that. But more importantly, it's holding schools and more importantly, not just schools, but the management of schools accountable to their students' long-term success. So what that means is holding early childhood providers accountable for their students' success in K-8, holding K-8s accountable to how students do in high school, and then holding high schools accountable to how well their students do in college. And then, of course, finally, holding colleges more accountable to completion rates and getting students across the finish line to get that credential that's so needed in the 21st century economy.
Patrick Cooney is a policy associate of Michigan Future Incorporated. We've been talking about the group's study titled A Path to Good-Paying Careers for All Michiganders, Improving Student Outcomes from Education Birth to College. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.